I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
An Erios production.
Would I kill my own baby to save a village?
Would I go back in time and kill Hitler?
Would I take the promotion at work with strings attached?
Would I eat muffins for the rest of my life if it meant I didn't have to go to school?
Would I have Satan's child?
Each week we discuss new ethical questions.
No.
What did I do?
You say our names. Oh my god.
You scared me. I'm Maria.
And I'm Amanda.
Are you Wait, sure? No, I don't think so.
We don't?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Each week, we discuss new ethical questions ranging from historical decisions to relationship problems to brain-busting moral choices.
The questions can be complicated, but they're always fun to talk about because they force you to look deep, deep, deep within inside yourself. Will you like what you see? Kobe Smulders
and Johnny Mays.
We're back.
Hey. You guys, we've not only are we back for the season to end all seasons, but we've got fan favorites, Kobe Smulders and Johnny Mays together as one.
Can you even handle it?
No.
A lot has happened during quarantine. Kobe and I live together.
We're a couple. We're romantically involved.
That is so great.
Going really well.
How wonderful. They met on a podcast.
Yeah.
That's what Kobe thinks.
Yeah, it is.
So how are you guys doing? I mean, welcome back.
Yeah. I mean, where do we begin? Aren't we living through the biggest of many ones?
Yes.
Wow. That's crazy. But yeah, yes.
This is the biggest one. Little did we know that stupid big one podcast came along about that earthquake. They didn't know what there is. There's been no earthquake. The big one is the pandemic.
Maria's in a long-going feud with the other podcast.
I am. Is it called the big ones? No. It's called the big one.
No S. And actually, it's very popular.
Well, they should only have one episode if it's only one big one. How do they come up with more every week?
Well, it's not the same premise.
Yes, it is.
It feels like it.
So you guys, you know how this goes. We like to start off the program to see if you guys have any little moral dilemmas that you need help with. Do either of you or both of you have something? And if not, I'm sure I can pull something out of my sleeve.
I did think of one. I mean, there's so much stuff to discuss right now. I'm trying to keep it light.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I thought, Johnny, is it all right
yes,
if I go
please,
first?
Yes, please.
Okay. So I'm Canadian, right? And I, up until recently, until this, we can mention the election.
Of course.
I'm not going to get into it because it's just too much. But up until the election, I was really heavily considering moving back home and going, you know, just thinking about that hypothetical, like, okay, what if Trump is reelected and it's 4 more years, and without like feeling some kind of doomsday scenario, what that 4 years could mean. I just kind of was like, what am I doing here? When I talk to so many people and they say to me, you can always, like, you can leave. You're one of the lucky ones should this happen. So I guess, you know, I'm in this place now where I think I'm going to be, you know, it's obviously more positive. We have a new president elect. So I feel a little bit more hopeful and more positive, but there's still this little voice in my head that's saying, what are you doing? Go back home, you silly knucklehead.
Is it like a little Canadian leaf that's like looking at you?
Oh, yeah. She's like, it's like a little Canadian leaf going, oh, come on. Yeah. Come up north. Everything is so much nicer up
what
here.
What a temptress.
It's what a little temptress. So I don't know. I think it's, I don't know if it's like, should I move back home? But it's more of like, how am I ever going to, I don't know if I'm ever going to feel like I've made the right decision, because it's not just about me. I have children and it's a whole other thing, and a husband.
right.
But, you know, so I think it's just about that internal debate and and trying to find a way to quiet those, that dancing Canadian maple leaf. And I asked you, Maria.
To hide her shoes so she can stop tapping.
I asked you, Maria, because I feel like you might have some insight on your your location in the moment. And I don't even know if I would enjoy living back in my place where, I mean, I moved away from Canada when I was basically after I graduated high school, I was out.
Yeah.
So I lived there for maybe a year, my 20s, but that's it. So, you know.
Well, I escaped to the lake. I'm a lake. I'm a woman. I'm a lady of the lake right now.
Ooh.
Yes. And so.
The creature from the lagoon.
The creature from the Black Lagoon. There is, and the reason I'm out here is because LA got to be too much with the pandemic, and it just, I started to feel trapped, and I don't know if that's how you feel with the government. I just started to feel trapped in my surroundings. But if you moved back to Canada, would you be going to, you know, more of a less urban environment, something where, you know, an Anne of Green Gables type situation?
Prince Edward's Island.
Yes, exactly, Johnny. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
I mean, what a dream. No, I'd be moving back to Vancouver, and it would be urban, and it would be like, you know, all of my best friends are up there. All of my family's up there. So it's people, and it'd be a lovely life.
Well, yeah,
which is a part of the debate. It would be a lovely, and it would be a lovely childhood for my kids.
And I think we've all,
it was an awesome place.
We've all seen how, you know, over the last 6 to 8 months, like, it's possible to work in the industry remotely. Like, you can do meetings over Zoom. So I feel like this, what didn't seem like even a possibility before, now we're, even me, I have no dual citizenship. But I've even fantasized about, like, why not go to, I don't know, Hawaii for 3 months?
Amanda, you don't need dual citizenship to go to Hawaii.
She
why
does.
Is that the place?
I'm saying, apply.
I'm saying
because I don't have dual citizenship, I would be relegated to somewhere Alaska, Hawaii.
One of my wildest dreams. Right. But I'm sure you could get your Dutch passport or whatever from your, you know, having your background. Denmark, Danish.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I'm Danish.
Maria has your 23andMe to try and implicate you for a crime soon. Don't fall for it. Don't give her your information, Amanda.
I know.
Toby,
exactly,
how old is your oldest kid?
11.
Okay.
So it's still like, we're not in high school yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They can still.
I'm getting a little frightened because I'm worried you're all going to convince me to go to Canada.
Well, it does seem fun to try.
Yeah, I know. It does seem fun. But I'll tell you what, Kobe's also, you know, you're living in, your kids are growing up in a place I literally grew up. And
right.
I'm, you know, things have maybe changed a little bit. But, you know, I had a very nice childhood there, and it did seem very small town to me, and it seemed very insular, and very, it didn't seem like I was in LA growing
right.
up. If that's the concern. But if it's more like you want to go home again, and you want to, like, but then again, what is home?
God, yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. Home is where your tax break is. No, is it better in Canada?
No, it's
no.
Not.
You know, one time my
you do have free healthcare and you know, better schools and all that stuff.
One time my mom took my sister to Prince Edward's Island because they're obsessed with Anne of Green Gables. And when I picked them up from the airport, they both had straw hats with red braids sticking out. They still have them pinned on the wall at home. It's so cute.
That's so great. That's where I would live if I was going up to Canada. Get me to Prince Edward Island and get me there fast.
That is the difference between, I think, Kobe, you said you had a little voice in your head, but Maria, there's a lot of external voices telling you to move. A lot of us are saying, please, please, let us know what it's like.
Yes. What do you think, you guys? I mean, I think that if something is pulling you towards a direction, you should, you know, what about spending a couple months there, seeing what's up?
Yeah, you know, we've been trying to do that, but there's a lot of rules against Americans crossing the border right now. So I'm the only Canadian in my family, technically, right now.
Wow.
So we could, and then it's just like this dance, and I think that's a part of it. I think, like, if I was able just to go and be there for a couple weeks just to see everybody and check in, I think that maybe that voice would go away. You know, I think that that's just kind of what I need, but I'm restricted in that way as well. So it feels like I have to make a committed choice to it's either here or there, because even if you go up and visit there, you have to intensely quarantine because they take this very seriously. Right. For 2 weeks, like, you're not allowed to leave your home to get groceries.
So that would be hard to put your whole family through that for like a month or two visit. Whereas if you're just picking up and moving out there, it's like we do it once and then we're good. That is tough.
Have you gone home at all during this time?
No, I haven't been home now for over a year.
Wow. Yeah, you may be a little homesick.
Yeah, that might be it.
But I think maybe wait till the dust settles on like all the chaos that's going on right now and then see how you feel. Because right now we're all having crazy ideas.
Yeah, it's like just crazy ideas. Like, let's just hit the road. Let's just drive and just get out of here. I know that's kind of where I think I'm at.
I'll tell you, you know what helps me? And Amanda, you're not going to like it.
Is it a VR headset?
No. I follow a little family on Instagram called the Bucket List Family. And I'll tell you what they did, Kobe. He sold an app and he made a couple million dollars. And then he said, we're selling our stuff and we're going to travel the world for, you know, the next 5 years, and we're going to document it all. And now they're settled in Hawaii and but they still travel a lot. But why, Amanda, do you hate them so much? Well, and Johnny, why are you shaking your head?
They're not related. They're all from Actors Access.
No,
I saw the casting call for that family. I mean, hats off to them, but I think it's ridiculous.
I'm with Johnny.
My tax dollars are going to them.
I'm with Johnny, and I would actually love for Kobe and Johnny to both check them out, and let's get your impressions, because my personal opinion is there's something very dark going on there. Either like some
not,
sort
they're
of-
Mormon. They're Mormon. That's
exactly what I'm talking about.
They're doing service. They're not doing anything wrong. There was that one scam that happened that they apologized for. One time, you know, they make a lot of money now because they're, you know, a very loved family. But what I'm saying is they decided to throw their things, you know, their possessions in the air and say, we're just going to go, we're going to see the world. And they seem a lot happier. Although the mother did seem like for a little bit, she was maybe losing her mind a little bit, but she's okay now.
How many kids are there?
There's three. But when they started, there was only two. And then when she started to get a little, you could tell there was a little anxiety, was when she was pregnant with the third.
Maria, their icon photo is everyone in the family is kissing.
Yep.
There's a photo because they're not related. There's a photo of the dad throwing the baby way too high in the air for me. I think I remember he was called Butterfingers.
No. No, I think, you know, I'm all for, you shouldn't get too comfortable in your life. You should always have your ears and eyes open to, you know, mm-hmm. something that's calling you. But you also have to think, well, what is it, just me being homesick or me thinking that the grass is always greener? You know what I mean? Nothing a little lake house, a second house can't help you with, Kobe.
That's a great option.
Coming to you. I'm coming to you, Maria.
You don't want to come. There's a roof problem.
You're lying.
No, they're, it's for real. They were here yesterday. And the chimney has a crack in it.
Who's they? Well, you better fix that before Santa comes.
Santa's the one who cracked it.
Kobe, I think if there's ever a time for a big change, now's the time. If there's ever been an inkling, now's the time to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
And just leave your house key under the mat, and I'll take a look at your house while you're gone.
Yeah, I always do this. I'll make like a big plan, and then I bail. Like I'll go like, all right, we're gonna try. I'll book like a whole trip, and then but all with refundable stuff. And then I bail out. I think it's, you know, it's interesting talking about this lovely sounding Mormon family in Hawaii. And also it made me think of this documentary. I think it was called Surfwise, which was many more children. It was like 10 children in like a surfing van. And, it's interesting because they, in the documentary Surfwise, they go back and they interview the kids about that time. And although the parents thought it was great, the kids were like, it was a nightmare.
Really?
So there's something about like kids kind of need stability. Yeah. Like they kind of need a little boring routine of this is so they feel safe. Right. So it's, I mean, obviously if I moved to Canada, it's not like I'm like hopping in a van and like driving, you know, living out of an RV, but I have to consider everybody. And I think it will be like, let's just make an effort to spend more time up there.
Yeah.
And really carve out that time to do so.
Well, I hope the bucket list family hears this because I think that is true.
Mm-hmm. Well, they did settle down, and I'll defend them because once the oldest got to be like 5 years old is when they settled in Hawaii, and they mm-hmm. said, okay, now we're going to stop traveling. We're going to actually have a home now. And now they just travel once in a while.
Okay. Well, that's, I mean, I'll give them a second chance, but honestly, I can't wait to hear what Johnny and Kobe really think once we get off the mic, because I do have a feeling that the bucket list family is a little litigation happy.
What does that mean?
Like they might sue us if we say too much.
Oh, well, not me.
All press is good press for that family.
Johnny, do you have anything you need help with?
Kobe, my problem seems small compared to yours. But you know what I was going to say, actually, is what my family used to do, because they would cancel plans about traveling after planning the whole thing, is you send one kid ahead and then you have to go get them. So choose a kid and send them on. Sure. Yeah, send them on.
Always the youngest one, I think so too, because it's just the scariest I'm the youngest. Scenario.
The last time they sent me off somewhere, I've stayed here in LA and no one's come to get me. So I'm still waiting. You know, one time, this is a true story, we were on a family vacation and my parents were putting all the groceries in the car at a grocery store, and they got ready to leave, and a homeless man came and returned me because I was in the cart. I was like 2 years old and the cart went far away.
Wow.
An unhoused person.
Wow.
And they returned me. And my parents still love to tell that story.
Oh my God, that turned you.
I wasn't worth anything. Okay, so I do have just a little small one that just happened, which is I gave somebody a baby outfit, like a baby gift for a mm-hmm. person having a child. And they said, oh, this is so cute. Is that from one of those Silver Lake boutiques? And it was from Target. What do you say? Do you let the person believe it's from a high-end baby boutique, or hope that they don't go to Target soon?
They don't see the Mossimo tag on the back?
Yeah. Signed by Lori Loughlin. Do you let somebody assume it's a better, higher-end gift? I said right away it's from Target because I thought it was a test.
Yeah, I've had this situation before, and someone schooled me about it. Actually, Jessica Chaffin, who we had on the podcast.
Jessica Chastain?
No. But she came up to me and I had a dress on. This is actually at the Erios launch party. And she was like, oh, now I forget what the designer is, Missoni or something. She was like, oh my God, that's so cute. Is that vintage Missoni? And I said, it's Rent the Runway. And then she put a hand on my shoulder and said, don't tell people that. Just say yes.
I guess we should tell the viewers that I'm sponsored by Target and Amanda's sponsored by Rent the Runway.
I wish, honestly.
This is a product placement.
But I think you can kind of let people, if they're drawing their own conclusions, maybe there's a way you can kind of not lie, but also not come out with the truth. Like you could have said like, oh, it does look chic, doesn't it?
Well, shouldn't you tell them because if they needed to return it?
That's probably why they were asking.
Yeah.
Is it worth the drive to Silver Lake?
They can get a better return at Silver Lake.
Yeah, seriously. Money in their pocket.
I don't know. I don't know. I love Target. I miss Target. I would love to wander the aisles of a Target right now. So I don't think it's I don't think it's a slight. I think it's like, it's cool looking. It's cool looking, but I think you're right with the receipt. There is sort of a return, but it's going to be presented. Like you put it in the envelope or something, right?
Yeah.
But I think you just tell them, I don't think there's anything you go, no, it's Target. And you know what? They should be glad they got anything. Mm.
Yeah. So that's all. I guess I'm going to uproot my family and go to Canada.
Let's freaking get a caravan going, you guys. Let's go.
We'll hop the border fence.
They can't keep all of us out. You know, if we show up in numbers, what are they going to do? At least some of us are going to be able to get
out. Yeah, you, because you're a citizen.
I think you're an esteemed alumni, Kobe. You could get us back in.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm curious. I would love to test out that power. I've been faced with immigration officials like my entire life, and they still terrify me. Not necessarily on the Canadian side. When I was younger, they did. But I buckle under pressure, so I would probably just be like, I don't know. I'm just going to go, guys.
You'd say, I don't know who that man and those two children are.
I don't know. I don't know. They seem nice, though. Maybe let them in. I got to go.
Well,
buckle under authority.
Look, in both of your guys' cases, whether it's Johnny's stupid baby outfit or Kobe's big life change, these are uncertain times. And look, we're all just doing our best.
Sometimes both options are good.
It is scary, though, thinking like, you know, do you guys ever think this, you know, if you can make a left or a right turn, you know, when you're driving, you're like, I'm going to make a left turn right now, but if I made a right turn, would my life be completely different? You know, do you guys ever think that?
The butterfly effect.
Yeah, the sliding doors.
It's like that sliding doors. I was about to say that movie tripped me out when it came out. I was like, this is every moment, every move I'm making is literally...
That's the thing.
Parallel universe is a very different line.
I mean, you decided to take the freeway to get somewhere, you could die. Mm. Whereas if you took side streets, you could live.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that would be such a cute couple's costume. Those two sliding doors, brunette and blonde.
Yeah.
But it's almost a whole year to Halloween.
Well, Johnny, that's never
stopped. Keep it. Store it away. File it away.
Store it away. Are we telling your listeners that we're taping this twice, one if Trump wins and one if Biden wins?
You would never know which one this was.
Kobe, I actually saw you and your husband at your polling place on the election, but I didn't want to bother you.
Stop it. Wait, on the election day?
Yeah.
We were now. That wasn't us.
I was in your guest bath. You did mail and ballot. I could see the whole thing from the kitchen table.
Johnny, you're creepy.
Oh my God.
Kobe, I'm in your house. I have a little big one. How do I get out of here?
We used to do polling at our house when we lived in Toluca Lake, like when I was like in first grade or whatever. We had polling booths in our house and people from the neighborhood would come and like instead of doing it at like a community place, it was like in our house. And Bob Hope lived down the street, so he came and voted at our house.
Didn't you say you felt like you grew up in a place really far from LA?
That's different. That's different.
Bob Hope is different.
But that's fun, isn't it? That we had our own little polling booth.
That is cool.
That's very cool. Well, should we transition to the big, big one?
First, we got to do our Ask Amanda. Never forget.
God, I did forget. Kobe, Johnny, this is the part of the podcast where we ask you to ask our listeners to rate, review, and subscribe to our Patreon. Now, keep in mind, we've been gone for a while. So we might, I don't know if there's new ears on this or what, or they're mad at us. So I don't know. Yeah. Up to you, however you want to handle this.
I would say please rate, subscribe, vote if you... want Kobe to stay in the U.S., please. And also rate, subscribe, and vote if you want Maria to leave. Is that...
And I will say, you know, do we not need podcasts now more than ever? I mean, it's literally the only socialization that I have in my life.
Yeah.
And who wouldn't want to socialize with these two lovely ladies?
Yeah.
And their guests. And also, what about Patreon? How do they get to Patreon, guys? We want to just like go through that process.
Yeah,
again?
They just go to patreon.com/thebigones and they'll be there for as little as $1 a month. And that was a mistake on our part because it should have been, you know, maybe like even like $2 would have done a huge difference.
Yeah.
I bet it's double.
Yeah, I think you're right. But at the same time, Maria, we could change that at any point, and yet we do not.
And there it is. There's the story of my life. It could be changed, but it just won't get done.
Let's hear some of the incentives for your subscribers besides beautiful content.
So you get 2 bonus episodes that no one else gets to hear.
Whoa.
Hello.
That's worth it. That's like a $2 purchase. That's the greatest deal. That's a Target kind of deal.
Exactly.
That's a Target deal with a Silver Lake boutique look.
Amen.
All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to get to the big, big one. And I think you guys are going to like it.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, everyone. Are you guys ready
for
this?
I'm nervous.
I'm nervous too, but we have a really fun one. And I think it's recognizable. Okay, so it's going to be whimsical. Okay.
You're an 11-year-old boy named Charlie Bucket, who is very poor and lives with your parents and bedridden grandparents in a tiny house with only one bed. One day, the sexy but demented chocolatier, Willy Wonka, announces that he is reopening his chocolate factory and has invited 5 lucky children to come on a tour if they find the golden ticket inside one of his Wonka bars. When Grandpa Joe finds the ticket, he is so happy he jumps out of bed and dances. But before you and Grandpa Joe can go on tour, a mysterious man named Arthur Slugworth approaches you with an offer as tempting as a fizzy lifting drink. He is a rival chocolatier and offers you a generous bribe to steal Wonka's everlasting gobstopper and give it to him so he can plagiarize the formula. The dilemma? Would you steal a gobstopper to pull your family out of poverty?
Okay, full disclosure, I had no idea that was a subplot. Like, when I was watching it as a kid, I didn't know that's what he was trying to do. I thought he was just a creepy guy.
Wonka?
No. Yeah, well, were a slugging.
You're right, but I've recently watched it because I have children, and he's kind of around when they win it, and then he's kind of whispers. Like, you're right, it is not 100% clear, which is why this is going to be interesting. Yeah. Because if we actually talk about the stakes in play here,
yeah,
becomes a different conversation.
I will say, can I just quickly, just, I want to get this out in the open. I did play Charlie Bucket in a musical performance. I played Charlie Bucket in at the Malibu Ballet by the Sea Summer Performing Arts Camp. And I was super excited that I got to eat a chocolate bar on stage.
Do you feel, do you still feel like you're carrying around part of the character?
Of course. Of course. Yeah.
It's hard to shed. Kobe, which version do you show your kids? The Johnny Depp one or the original?
No, the old one. And actually, you know what, Marie, you're reminding me, this is the sad version of that. My daughter was supposed to be Charlie in a Willy Wonka production. And guess what? They were going to go up and perform, and they shut everything down the Thursday before for COVID. No. So she never got to go on stage. Sets were built, guys.
No.
Costumes were made. Dreams were broken.
Oh, that's,
yeah, God. Totally. I literally completely forgot about that.
Well, I did it. I'll tell you what, I did it. And she's missing out on a lot, because that was like a fire within she'll never feel again. Was,
oh my gosh, I wonder if it's the same, all those same songs. I've got a golden ticket.
Yeah. There were a couple. Yeah, I've got a and then there was
well, this is actually crazy because Maria, you're gonna be able to put yourself in his shoes because you've already been there,
of course. Mm-hmm.
So this is an interesting advantage you have. But let's just say off the bat, where is everyone at? Because for me as an adult now, I'm like, Charlie doesn't know that he might inherit the chocolate factory. He doesn't go into the tour knowing that. So I'm like, mm-hmm. I guess all it is taking a piece of candy and then you're going to get so much money. Yes, Kobe is raising her hand.
Sorry. I do remember that he does not know that he's going to inherit the factory, but I believe that there is a promise of like a lifetime of candy. Or something. Like they won this tour and then they were getting a lifetime of candy. So I'm unsure if signing whatever contract and not stealing anything negates that lifetime of candy as well.
No.
And I have found out that some landlords do accept chocolate coins monthly. So it just kind of depends on your situation.
But
and their love of chocolate.
The other thing is that if you're not the one that's picked at the end, if you're Augustus Gloop, if you're Veruca Salt or whatever, you just go home. So you could take those gobstoppers too, right?
Well, that's why they get sent home, because the other children. Okay, do you want me to tell you what ends up happening in the movie? Will that help? Because I read this online today. Because again, I'm like you, Maria. I watched the movie and had no clue any of this went on. But then I read
it. Maria was in the play.
You're in the play.
I couldn't make heads or tails out of what I was saying.
So what happens is the other kids, you know how he puts Veruca down the trash and then that chubby kid gets stuck in the pipe and then the TV kid gets shrunken because they were all going to steal the gobstopper.
He was doing all that stuff on purpose?
Yes. And so,
no.
Yes, he was. And so the twist is that actually the guy, what's his name? Arthur Slugworth works for Charlie, and it was all a test.
You mean Willie?
Yes.
Okay.
But here's a question. They all did something. They all like the everlasting gum. They were chewing it and she turned into a blueberry. So it wasn't that they were like creeping in and almost stealing it and then they got kicked out, because what I'm also going to bring up is Charlie and Grandpa, whatever his name is,
Joe.
They went into that bubble room and they drank the bubbles. They were able to get out of it, but they still snuck a taste.
They got sauced.
They got sauced.
Yeah.
That is, it was everyone not being able to keep their damn hands to themselves.
I know for a fact you would be stuffing your pockets with gobstoppers.
Well, you were allowed to. That's the thing. It's like everyone was allowed to eat the Twizzler rope and, the coffee, the daffodil cups. It was when Augustus was using his hands in the chocolate river and fell in where you go, well, dude, come on. You don't need to be doing that.
They're being greedy.
That's the thing. So let's just, for the sake of this, it's that it's that Slugsworth says, you come out of there and you'll get $1 million, right?
Yeah. I think whatever
would
it is.
Would you do that?
I mean, it's hard because obviously stealing is wrong. But if you're just taking, it's just like, I don't know either of these guys. So at the end of the day, I got to look out for me.
Yeah. I think it's more of a moral dilemma than like a promise, right? It's more like, do you steal like with the intent to benefit yourself, or do you sort of be grateful for the place and the situation that you're in and kind of not expect anything, but you've already kind of won this situation? I would totally steal the God scum stuff as a follow-up. I think, listen, you're destitute. All your grandparents are in one GD bed. Like, yeah. I think you take it. Hey, you take it and you put it in your pocket and you see what happens at the end of the
day. Exactly.
Taking it doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to sell it to this guy and maybe he's going to get me. I don't know, but I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to put it in my pocket. Yeah. I'm going to play both sides. I'm going to play
you
this out.
You want to get a bidding war going.
Why not?
This reminds me of the time in, I think it may have been first grade, where someone brought cupcakes to school. And I don't know if I've told this story before, but there were vanilla and there were
This shows me you'll take the Gobstopper. Absolutely.
I still see the vanilla frosting on her teeth. Maria.
So everyone was allowed one kind. But I said to myself, well, that's crazy. There's leftover ones. I need to have two and I need to have one of each. So I took one and I put it inside my desk and I left it there the entire day. And I said, I'm keeping this here and then I'm going to bring it home. And I still to this day remember taking the cupcake out and the frosting being left at the top of the desk, because it was one of those slide desks, you know, where it was like, and I was scared out of my wits that I was going to get caught. I can't remember if I did or not, but moral of the story is I had two cupcakes at the end of the day.
I think cupcakes.
And everyone else had one.
Cupcakes for children seems like a very LA childhood. I don't know.
We did not have cupcakes in Canada. We had bear claws and they were disgusting.
I'm just, you know, the guilt that would plague me, and I'm a big guilter. I'm a big, you know, that Catholic guilt comes creeping up. I couldn't do it. I think of it as someone's inviting you into their home and this is you don't deserve it. You don't like it's this is someone being gracious and going, come on into my chocolate factory.
Now, what about this? You get there and the guy's kind of weird.
Which guy?
Willie.
Well, Willie?
Willie.
Well, yeah, but you know, he's, you know,
eccentric. Maybe is a better...
And is that so wrong? Should you steal from eccentric people, Amanda?
But here's the thing. Here's the thing that I think we're all forgetting, and I'd like to bring it back up and remind everybody. You walk into that candy forest, he's like, go for
it.
Yeah,
he does say
it. He's like, people are eating the candies. I mean, Gloop is in that river. Don't do it. But like, he's like, try everything. And everyone's all about it. And I don't remember specifically, but I feel like he was kind of like, check out the Gobstoppers. Like, he was kind of like... And maybe that was to steal it, but he was very gracious and really allowing a lot of testing. And even with the kids that ate the gum and stuff, it was sort of like, don't try to maybe not do that. But they only got punished physically by all the, you know, the,
by their own doings, by their own actions,
because they were being too greedy. Right.
You know what this reminds me of? And Johnny, I don't know if you've seen this. Kobe, I don't know if you have, but Amanda, I know you have.
I think I know
a mini episode on it.
I think I know what you're going to say.
It was the was the Ellen Show debacle.
Of course I've seen it.
Oh,
she
no.
raked,
what is it?
She raked a woman over the coals, Kobe.
she raked a woman
over the coals, an audience member.
So basically what happened was, you know, Ellen likes to pull her tricks, her pranks. And so she put out a table and it said everyone can pick one Ellen item and no more. And so they had a hidden camera there and all the audience members were picking one item. And then there was one woman who saw all the Ellen merch and went, well, God, you know, she was having a Kobe mindset of going, well, hell yeah, I'm going to take what I want. This is my day. And they had this woman on camera just going nuts over the Ellen merch. And then in front of all of America, they played it with her in the audience. And Ellen's going, what were you doing? Why did you do that? Why did you take so much stuff? And it was really hard to watch. But it was like, that's the thing of like, if you think no one's looking, but who knows, if you wouldn't have taken, if you wouldn't have taken all that Ellen stuff, maybe you would have gotten a new car.
Right, right. Like if she, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Like she might be rewarding good behavior, and she probably did because she probably showed the other people. So at the very least, they got like a little pat on the back because they were good citizens. I don't know. This is me knowing all of the information that I know. And are you supposed to be an 11-year-old kid? Are we allowed to be? You're 11, so it's like I feel like I probably would have been. I'm about to say two things. I think I would have felt really guilty, but I was also like a little bit of a kleptomaniac at that point in my life. So I think I feel like the klepto might have overpowered the guilt because of the more open situation of like, try things, then I would have bent that rule mentally. But I don't think that I would have, I'd like to think that I wouldn't have sold it, but you know, you got to look out for your family too. I mean,
I like Kobe's rule of put it in your pocket, decide later. And say like you do that at CVS yesterday or something. It's not that you haven't not paid yet. I may still go back and pay for whatever I stole yesterday. But I think if I was 11 years old, I would go straight to the source and ask the Oompa Loompas what they think of their boss. What are the work hours? What's the union situation?
Right.
How are you being treated? And maybe then stage a coup.
Oh, so you're alleging there's bigger issues. And actually, you saying that and Maria, you bringing up the Ellen thing is drawing a lot of parallels in my mind between Willy Wonka and Ellen. Because I also think it's really messed up of Willy Wonka to put this like poor 11-year-old child who he knows comes from this situation into a scenario like this.
But what scenario did he put him into? All he's doing is giving him the gift of touring the factory.
No, he's tempting him because he sent this creep to offer him money to steal a gobstopper. Because
right.
He's trying to test his moral character.
Wouldn't you, if your entire factory was on the line?
I would probably, instead of doing 11-year-olds, I'd do like 24-year-olds.
No, girl, that's trouble. That would turn into like Love Island or something.
Now, I have a question. If you steal the gobstopper and get all the money, do you have to tell your grandparents?
Oh, Johnny. So you just get out of there?
Or do you get them a Tempur-Pedic? And let them, they do enjoy their lives.
At least get them a Tempur-Pedic, dude.
You would need a Tempur-Pedic, though, that could go up and down on both sides. Do they make those? Because they're all sleeping head to toe.
Right, right, right.
Well,
I could get it custom, and then my pockets are empty again. I mean, what's the point?
So what's everyone's final? Let's go around and do final decisions. Amanda, we haven't really heard from you what you would do here.
Because I'm a little bit torn because I do think it's like, hey, I found this golden ticket. Like there's these two rich chocolate factory owners who are putting me in the middle of their bullshit. Like, and I have four grandparents, bedridden grandparents and two parents. So I'm wondering, like, what do I owe these people? They're basically like billionaires playing with people's lives. So I'm like Maria, I have Catholic guilt. And of course I know how the story turns out where you end up being rewarded, but I don't like those sort of morality setups. So I'm going to take the gobstopper because I don't like the whole spiel I think is wrong.
I say 100% I'm not taking the gobstopper. This is not my place. This is someone else's factory. This isn't just just stealing something. This is stealing someone's secrets, basically. This is stealing someone's, what they worked their entire life for. That is not my place. I know I'm poor, but it's not my place. And I just can't do it. And I'm sorry. Kobe?
I need Johnny to go because I'm flip-flopping mentally.
I was going to use your own words, Kobe, that you told me right before the podcast, which was snitches get stitches. Mm-hmm. Loud and clear, I hear it. No to the gobstopper, and somehow yes still to the Tempur-Pedic for my grandparents.
This is a really hard one for me. I think I'm really trying to go to this place. I'm really trying to go to this world. And I think if you let Kobe Smulders loose in the factory, she'd have a pocket full of gobstoppers. But I think sweet Charlie, you know, even sweet innocent 11-year-old Kobe doesn't really understand the responsibility of the family, is more just looking to please this hero of mine.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to say no. I think I'm going to look at it. I'm going to really appreciate it. And I'm going to think about it, and then I'm going to walk away.
That's good. Well,
beautiful.
I hope you're all proud of yourselves.
Kobe, have you noticed if your daughter has shaken the character yet, or she still has a little pip in her walk?
A little Charlie Bucket in her.
Yeah.
You know, she is very Charlie. Like, it's funny because thinking about this made me think of her, and she would have a complete panic attack if she put that gobstopper in her pocket because she's such a rule follower. Like, she'd be like panicked. And I think that that's what, if you would all grew up with like a father that you were terrified of, which I was some of the times, like you're so afraid of getting in trouble that I think I'd be more afraid of getting in trouble. And she would have been terrified of doing anything wrong in that scenario.
What if the rule was to steal in your house?
In my house, like my father said, I'd steal it. Daddy love me.
Yeah.
Please.
Daddy love me, please.
You sound like how I talk to my plants.
You call your plants Daddy?
They call me Daddy. Oh.
Whatever makes them grow. Whatever makes them grow.
So Amanda, I sent you a Dear Big Ones that we got from a listener, and this is exciting because we haven't done this in a long time. So let's hear what the listeners need help with.
Great. Okay. Hey, Big Ones, I have a conundrum for you. I have a cousin who is a hairdresser. She's been doing my hair for several years, and if I'm honest, I've never been completely wowed with the final product. But the last two times, she's really missed the mark. My hair isn't ruined by any stretch, but the color is not what I was going for. She actually admitted both times that she wasn't sure what went wrong. She's offered to fix the last oopsie, but I'm not totally confident she can. Do I go get it fixed somewhere else and start going to a new hairdresser, making my relationship with my cousin awkward? Or do I tough it out until one of us moves away or she retires? We see each other fairly often, so it would be obvious I've been getting my hair done somewhere else.
I mean, I think that there is, I mean, it, not only is it like a family situation, you guys obviously have a relationship, but I will say like the hairdresser customer relationship is kind of an intimate one if you go on the regular.
Yeah.
My advice would be to say, you know what, I'm going to go do my color somewhere else, but I would love for you to still cut my hair. And like you pop in just for haircuts, little trims, unless it's like a major redo if you don't trust you to do that, but you go in for like little upkeep and then you just say, you know what, I'm sorry, like I just wanted to try another colorist, I think you're super talented and I'd love you to cut, but
or you say I want to go natural with my colors, like I want to do like a new sulfate thing type thing, you know.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or you keep lying and say you're getting the quarantine cut by your husband and you're secretly going to a new stylist.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah. During this time, you could totally do that. Yeah.
I do work sometimes at the front desk of a hair salon here. just for shits and giggles, not for cash, Kobe. But I have.
Thank you for clarifying.
I do recommend for people to go see my friend Brian, who cuts his hair there, and I sent Amanda there, and I have gotten a text from him of a photo of Amanda saying it looks like she goes somewhere else now. So they do notice.
Oh my god!
I'm sorry.
Listen,
I think what you could do is get a replacement. Send a friend. I mean, some blindfolded idiot. Say, hey, I know a great stylist, and then you're not. Then it's you're compensating for the cash that you're not giving them.
Oh,
also with family, I don't know if they're getting money, but if it's like a thing for money, then get your replacement in, and then you can sneak out the back door.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, hair is such, if it's really, it's not, they're saying they're not messing it up, but, you know, if you're not happy with it, you should have a haircut that makes you happy. And that's not an easy thing to find also.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't found someone that can really work these strands.
Oh, you should see my friend Brian.
Yes, oh, go, okay. Then I'll be off the hook. Actually,
Amanda loves him.
I loved Brian's haircuts. I really did, but I started going to a girl down the street that I could walk to, but now she's moved, and so now I have no one, so maybe I'll go back to Brian. But I think I agree with Kobe. A difficult conversation now is better than a lifetime of bad color and cuts. So yes. I think just kind of like, you can make it about you to say like, I'm just so weird about my hair. Like, I'm so picky. I just wanted to try this other place.
Yeah.
Or you could say, I love to gossip to my hairstylist, and I just don't feel like, since you're family, I can talk shit about you.
Mm-hmm. Great.
They get that.
Yeah.
Well, guys, this has been such a great episode back. I feel rejuvenated. I feel like I'm back in the big one's house. I'm Ooh. In the big one's house.
Like the circus tent.
That's right.
Marie, are you going to read the cease and desist letter that just came in from the bucket list family?
No, that's not me. They like me. They don't like Amanda. They're coming after Amanda.
That is the first thing I'm going to look up after we sign off. I'm fascinated.
We did Charlie Bucket and the bucket list family.
Oh my God. Hey,
that is true.
I wonder if they would accept him.
They would. They're very good people.
Oh God, Marie is one of them.
She's their PR person.
Well, guys, what's going on with the both of you? Do you want people to find you? Do you've got things going on, Johnny?
I'm in Colby's house. Please don't look for me.
I keep checking all the closets. I think he moves. I think he constantly circulates around because I see evidence of it. I see wrappers. I see little breadcrumbs.
He's in the walls.
Sometimes I see a charger still plugged into an outlet and I go, that's not mine.
The trick is to move very slowly.
Yeah.
Around the house.
Blend. Yeah. Yeah. No sudden. I like that. No.
Yeah, that's fair. I get it.
There's nothing. There's nothing going on right now, my friends. That's
the less eyes on me, the better.
Agreed.
Well, you can find
us. Just let me get through this.
Yeah, seriously. If you can find us at the Big Ones Pod on Twitter. You can email us at thebigonespodcast@gmail.com. And you can join our Patreon. You please rate and review. And then, you know, we'll be back again next week.
Well,
we're so excited. This is going to be a great season.
Oh, thank you, Johnny. That's
our bag. It's such a pleasure to be on it. And you guys are just the greatest.
Thank you guys. This is really warms my heart.
It's because you have that broken roof, Maria.
I know, I need something to
get a blanket.
You need that gobstopper. You need the cash.
Tarp it up.
Wait, there was a tarp up there, but now it's fixed. They fixed it. But now the drywall guy has to come in. So
process. It's a process.
Patreon.
Yes, please, Patreon. You guys.
Hit up that Patreon.
Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening to
The Big Ones.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Hold up. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.